Hello, it's Debbie back with the e-edition of the Herald and Review for Decatur and Vermilion County on Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Starting on the first page with Tourist Sale for Cuba. This is by Tony Reed, one of the H&R staff writers. Cuba. The Big Island of Cuba, the last communist bastion in the West Hemisphere, is an intriguing place. Ernest Hemingway set his glorious 1952 novel, The Old Man and the Sea, in pretty Cuba, in an eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation over the deployment of Soviet missiles there in 1962 between President John F. Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev came within a whisker of sparking a nuclear World War III over Fidel Castro's island. Patria o muerte, venceremos, homeland or death we shall overcome, is still the official state motto. No wonder people want to visit. Warming relations between Cuba and the United States in the past year have prompted the first tourist cruise ship trip in 50 years when the Phantom vessel Adonia arrived from Miami for a week-long visit in May. The ship was full of dignitaries, business leaders, Cuban exiles, well-heeled tourists looking for exotic adventure, and Decatur's Becky Luca, the owner of Tour Group Planners Travel Agency. Luca took the opportunity to go so she could scope out the scene for her clients and offer them tours. Tour Group Planners is launching a Cuba trip in January. Prices start at $3,800 for a 9-day cruise. And so while much of Cuba's native population may be impoverished, a typical wage is $20 a month, the tourists who travel there from the decadent West won't find the going cheap. Beautiful picture of the city from the sea. Oh my, makes you want to go. Panoramic view of Havana, says the little subtitle on the picture, but it could be worse. Lucas had a sales meeting on the ship to discuss prices and noted an ocean view berth for a couple in peak winter season could run to more than 8,000. I was actually kind of shocked, she said. Some of the pricing reflects the complexity of travel to a destination that is not like booking a week at Disney World. The rules allowing newly permitted tourist visits say they have to fall within certain guidelines, such as having an educational and cultural focus. This limits what visitors can do and where they can go. Cuba's beautiful beaches are off limits so far, and commercial players in the island travel market are also limited, which effectively limits hectic competition on price. So is it worth it? The Decatur travel agent says it most definitely is. A picture of a chapel. Visiting Cuba is an experience, Lucas said. She said, you go back in time to see colonial-era buildings and faded glory and get a sense of what tropical, exotic places looked like before they were carpet-bombed with American fast food joints and strip malls. Parts of Cuba are dilapidated and crumbling. Parts are stunningly beautiful, but it's all authentic. Oh, and those 50s cars in Havana, they are really... The American Chevys and other refugees from the era of rock and roll were left behind when former dictator Fidel Castro finally shot his way to power in 1959. His brother Raul Castro now runs the country. And everywhere you go, according to Luca, the people are welcoming. Her closely shepherded tour returned to the boat each night, but they ate in local restaurants and did get a chance to meet some of the native population while putting in at three different ports. Havana, Cienfuegos, and San Diego de Cuba. I wasn't sure what to expect. The people were very friendly, very pleased to see us, Lucas said. Once they heard you're from America, they're like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. Other Decatur travel businesses are also getting their feet wet in the Cuba market, and one of them, Tickets and Trips, recently had a couple of clients head out there on a cruise, and they loved it. Yeah. They just had a wonderful time, had a great time, said Stephanie Ramsey, Ticket and Trips office manager. They said the people were very friendly, everybody was very accommodating, and everything went very smoothly, no complaints. They said it was like taking a step back in time. She thinks the Cuban government will continue to try to limit change and head off any future frontal assault by American name brands and fast food joints, if only because being quaint and different is Cuba's ace in the hole. That's going to be their appeal, she added. Ordinary Cubans, however, appear more than happy to receive any little bits of the Capital West visitors might care to bestow on them. Some cruise visitors on that historic and first Adonia trip handed out little wrapped bars of hotel soaps. Others distributed pencils with erasers. Lucas said some of the locals come up to you expectedly hopeful that you might have something for them, and she has some advice for visitors. Take plenty of miniature U.S. flags as offerings. She said that when her cruise ship arrived, passengers were given 10-inch Old Glory and Cuban flags to wave at the dockside crowds, waving enthusiastically back at them as the vessel docked in Havana. And the Cubans really wanted our U.S. flag, she said. Somebody tried to give them the Cuban flag. They said, oh, no, I don't want that one. I want your U.S. flag. That's the end of that article. Then on to innocent people caught in WikiLeaks data dumps. This is from AP. From Cairo, its scoops have rattled the Saudi Foreign Ministry, the National Security Agency, and the U.S. Democratic Party. But WikiLeaks' spectacular mass disclosures have also hit hundreds of average people, including sick children, rape victims, and mental patients, who just happened to find their personal information included in the group's giant data dumps, the Associated Press has found. In the past year alone, the Radical Transparency Organization has published medical files belonging to scores of ordinary citizens. Hundreds more had sensitive family, financial, or identity records posted to the web. In two particularly egregious cases, WikiLeaks named teenage rape victims. In a third, the site published the name of a Saudi citizen arrested for being gay, an extraordinary move given that homosexuality can lead to social ostracism, a prison sentence, or even death in the ultra-conservative Muslim kingdom. They published everything, my phone, address, name, details, said another Saudi man who told AP. He was bewildered that WikiLeaks had revealed the details of a paternity dispute with a former partner. If the family of my wife saw this, publishing personal stuff like that could destroy people. WikiLeaks' mass publication of personal data is at odds with the site's claim to have championed privacy, even as it laid bare the workings of international statecraft, and is drawing criticism from longtime allies. Attempts to reach WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange for an interview over the past month have been unsuccessful, and the ex-hacker did not reply to written questions. In a series of tweets following the publication of the AP story, WikiLeaks dismissed the privacy concerns as recycled news and said they were not even worth a headline. Assange gave no indication that the offending material would be taken down. He'd been holed up for the past 4 years in Ecuador's embassy in London, where he sought refuge when Swedish prosecutors attempted to question him over sexual assault allegations. WikiLeaks' stated mission is to bring censored or restricted material involving war, spying, and corruption into the public eye, describing the trove amassed thus far as a giant library of the world's most persecuted documents. The library is growing quickly, with 500,000 files from the U.S. Democratic National Committee, Turkey's ruling party, and the Saudi Foreign Ministry, added in the last year or so. But the library is also filling with rogue data, including computer viruses, spam, and a compendium of personal records. The Saudi diplomatic cables alone hold at least 124 medical files, according to a sample analyzed by the AP. Some describe patients with psychiatric conditions, seriously ill children, or refugees. This has nothing to do with politics or corruption, said Dr. Nayef Afayez, a consultant in the Jordanian capital of Amman, who confirmed that a brain cancer patient of his was among those whose details were published on the web. Dr. Adan Sahab, a retired practitioner in Jordan who also had a patient named in the files, expressed anger when shown the document. This is illegal, what has happened, he said in a telephone interview. It's illegal. The AP, which is withholding identifying details of most of those affected, reached 23 people, most in Saudi Arabia, whose personal information was exposed. Some were unaware their data had been published. WikiLeaks is censored in the country. Others shrugged at the news. Several were horrified. One, a partially disabled Saudi woman who secretly got into debt to support a sick relative, said she was devastated. She had kept her plight from the members of her own family. This is a disaster, she said in a phone call. What if my brothers, neighbors, people I know or even don't know have seen it? What's the use of publishing my story? Medical records are widely counted among a person's most private information, but the AP found that WikiLeaks also routinely published identity records, phone numbers, and other information easily exploited by criminals. The DNC files published last month carried more than 24 Social Security and credit card numbers, according to the AP analysis assisted by New Hampshire-based compliance firm Data Gravity. Two of the people named in the files told AP they were targeted by identity thieves following the leak, including a retired U.S. diplomat who said he also had to change his number after being bombarded by threatening messages. The number of people affected easily reaches into the hundreds. Paul Dietrich, a transparency activist, said a partial scan of the Saudi cables alone turned up more than 500 passport, identity, academic, or employment files. The AP independently found 36 records pertaining to family issues in the cables, including messages about marriages, divorces, missing children, elopements, and custody battles. Many are very personal, like marital certificates that reveal either whether the bride was a virgin. Other deal with Saudis who are deep in debt, including one man who says his wife stole his money. One divorce document details a male partner's infertility. Others identify the partners of women suffering from sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV and hepatitis C. Lisa Lynch, who teaches media and communications at Drew University and has followed WikiLeaks for years, said Assange may not have had the staff or resources to properly vet what he published, or maybe he felt the urgency of his mission trumped privacy concerns. For him, the end justifies the means. End of that article. On to government and politics. Need business data? Libraries have you covered. This is by Allison Petty, also of the staff. Decatur. As he talked to people throughout the community, city librarian Rick Meyer kept hearing the same question. How can the Decatur Public Library help with economic development? On Tuesday, Meyer and representatives from multiple organizations revealed a new tool that could help answer the question. It's called Demographics Now, and it allows existing and potential business owners to conduct market research they need for free and on their own schedules. To get this information could cost you thousands of dollars as an individual entrepreneur, Meyer said. Partners in the endeavor include public libraries in Forsyth and Mount Zion, whose cardholders can also access the tool. Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, City of Decatur, Great Decatur Chamber of Commerce, Millikan University, Richland Community College, the Village of Mount Zion, and the Mount Zion Chamber of Commerce and Mount Zion Economic Development Office. Had to go back to the beginning of that sentence. That list was the partners in the endeavor, including the public libraries. Then, the partnership helped spread out the roughly $12,000 cost among multiple entities. It also meant to help ensure that the database gets used. It helps us promote this resource to the people who need it and can benefit from it. And hopefully, I think it opens doors for us to work together on projects, Meyer said. The database uses Experian and other sources to help answer questions about the demographics and purchasing habits of certain areas. For instance, users can target a specific area to find out how much people living there spend on certain types of goods, such as furniture or breakfast food, in the previous year. The tool is available on the web for anyone with a library card at the Decatur, Mount Zion, or Forsyth Library, or people can visit the libraries to use it. Richland officials plan to offer training sessions. After Meyer saw a demonstration of the tool last year, he approached EEC President Brian McGrady, who was excited by the concept, but McGrady thought the benefit could be expanded even further, which led to the involvement of the other libraries, educational and business entities. McCready said the databases provide a great way for budding entrepreneurs to gather the market research they need to present to banks and financial backers and to design their business plan. It also can allow existing companies to identify target areas to expand or increase promotion. A big plus is that the business owners can use demographics now in their own schedules. During the day, they're busy running their business, and they have to be able to get this information when they have time to look it up. That's what's really nice about this, McCrady said. We'd love for them to come to the libraries, but if they can't, they can still get the information and consume it in the way that's easiest for them. Elizabeth Bondi, a sales representative for Cengage Learning, which offers the database, said public libraries across the country are using it to turn outward and build relationships in their own communities. For instance, in Phoenix, the police department is using the tool to determine where to station Spanish-speaking officers. In Mount Prospect, Illinois, local business owners who attended a recent training were brimming with enthusiasm for the power of the database and detailed information it gave them. It's really such a robust resource, she said. Demographics Now is one of the multiple online educational resources that are available to Decatur Public Library cardholders, Meyer said. Others include the Chilton Library, a database of auto reference manuals for a spectrum of cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, Gale courses, online classes offering a variety of subjects, and Mango, an online language learning system. The library's website is Decatur Library, one word, decaturlibrary.org. End of that article. To the state. Rauner signs bills to punish trafficking guns. This is by Ivan Moreno, AP writer. Springfield. Firearm traffickers in Illinois will be punished with sentences of up to 30 years in prison under legislation Governor Bruce Rauner signed Tuesday, a move aimed at curbing Chicago's rampant gun violence. The new law seeks to address a problem that has vexed prosecutors in recent years. Criminals skirting Illinois' strict gun policies by purchasing firearms in other states where little screening is required. Investigators say more than half the firearms recovered in Illinois crime scenes are traced back to other states. There have been more than 442 homicides in Chicago so far in 2016, and the vast majority involve firearms, said police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi. They were 468 homicides in all of 2015. Under the new law, a first conviction for trafficking guns will carry a sentence of 4 to 20 years in prison. A subsequent offense will be punishable by up to 30. There's never been a major focus on who arms the shooter, said State Representative Jim Durkin, the House Republican leader and sponsor of the bill. Now, he said, they're going to be held accountable and they're going to be sentenced in a very strong fashion. The bill drew opposition from the ACLU in Illinois, which argued the sentences are too severe and there's already a federal law on the issue. But Brandon Nemec, an assistant state's attorney in Cook County, said the federal law applies only when someone actually transfers a firearm to someone prohibited from possessing one. The new law will allow prosecutors to charge people whom investigators found had intent to deliver. Turkin said prosecutors can only charge traffickers now for being a felon in possession of a firearm or for not having a gun permit. That doesn't get the job done, he said. Currently, those offenders can get as little as a year in jail and as much as 14, depending on their criminal history. Nearly 60% of the firearms used in crimes in Chicago were bought in other states, according to a 2014 report from the mayor's office, which blamed weaker gun laws in those places. About 20% came from Indiana, where no permit is required to buy firearms, and private sellers don't have to conduct background checks. Every state in the country supplied at least one gun that was used in a crime in Chicago, the report found. Indiana's the largest supplier, followed by Mississippi and Wisconsin, which are responsible for 6.7% and 3.6%, respectively. In Illinois, gun purchasers need to obtain a permit, a process designed to disqualify felons, those with mental illnesses, and domestic abusers, among others. All of our communities are at risk of gun violence. We in Illinois are suffering, Rauner, a Republican, said before signing the bill in Chicago. Our children are at risk. Innocent people are at risk. End of that article. Next, on to the Next page in the A section, we're going local here. Budget News Good for Schools by Valerie Wells. Decatur. The Decatur School District had good news to share on the budget at the school board meeting Tuesday. Chief Operational Officer Todd Kovalt presented a tentative budget for the 2016-17 fiscal year, and the state of Illinois is expected to fund public schools at 100% of the general state aid, in contrast to the last several years of prorated funding. The district should receive $45 million in general state aid this year, which is $2.4 million more than last year, he said. We hope for a $2 million surplus in the budget this year, he said. The 1 cent sales tax increase that voters approved in 2010 for facilities is not bringing in as much revenue as it was 3 years ago. But with full state funding, there's a good chance the board can avoid the difficult decisions required by budget cuts this year. The reality of school funding is that we don't know until April when the state decides if they can pay it at all. They might say we don't have enough to pay because we already gave it to somebody else. However, based on the appropriations, he hoped that that won't happen. Property tax revenues are also expected to be a little higher this year thanks to quadrennial reassessments, which should be an increase of about $34,000 to the district. Losses due to decrease in the poverty grant and corporate personal property replacement tax are offset by the increase in general state aid. Overall, the state should be able to expect a $2 million increase. The public hearing on the budget is set for 6:30 p.m. September 27th with a vote on the budget at that day's meeting. In other business, the board formally approved reinstatement of the adult education program, approved the annual budget for the Macon-Piatt Special Education District, and the purchase of Apple iPads and MacBooks for students and staff. Due to damage and loss, Ed Moyer, Chief Instructional Officer, the district has about a 10% loss rate on the devices since beginning the one-to-one computer-to-student program at Eisenhower High School 3 years ago, which has expanded to students at MacArthur High School. During board discussion time, board member B.A. Butts asked about the interim co-superintendent situation, which was originally intended to end in August. No motions or votes can be held during discussion time, but the board members present generally agreed to place on the agenda for future meeting an offer to interim co-superintendents Mike Dugan and Bobby Williams to remain in their jobs through the school year while a search for a permanent superintendent is conducted. Okay, continuing on education, ridiculous open school year performances. Okay, that is an acronym, READ, READ. Ridiculous open school year performances, again by Valerie Wells. Ridiculous and the elephant and piggy books go together, as Forrest Gump might say, like peas and carrots. Mo Willems has written 25 elephant and piggy books, and Alyssa Henkel and Susan Bishop, who created Ridiculous, have performed them all at Holy Family School on Tuesday as the duo performed a new sixth version of Ridiculous for the first time this school year. They also performed the last elephant and piggy book, The Thank You. It's emotional for us, Bishop said, but he's still publishing other books. We're hoping Ballet Cat will be for good for us as a replacement, Henkel said. Two character stories make it easy. One reason they like Elephant and Piggy is that the stories aimed at very young children are almost always contained to two characters, making it simpler for the two women to perform the story than if there were several. Ballet Cat and her friend Sparkle the Pony, mentioned by Henkel, are the stars of the books by Bob Shea, and Ballet Cat and the Totally Secret is featured in their current show. We've thrown in an extra character, but it makes it more difficult to navigate, Bishop said. The women of Ridiculous act out books and shows through the area at the Decatur Public Library, where both are employed, at schools and daycare centers to encourage children to read. They perform while holding copies of the books they're bringing to life, even though in many cases they have them memorized. So the children will associate the story with the book and want to get their hands on those books themselves. When they perform at the library, there's always a display of the books they've used in the show, and hopes the children will want to, the kids will want to check them out. And kids see a show at the school, they can visit the children's department at the library and identify their school and get a free book bag. Ridiculous, so named because they love to read a ridiculous number of books, as they say, traditionally begins the year with a performance at Holy Family, thanks to librarian Sandy Murray. It's such a wonderful introduction here, and it connects school to the library, said Holy Family Principal Debbie Alexander. Teachers spend the show scribbling notes and plan to try to create a reader's theater themselves with students, Alexander said, which will be a good way to help kids really dig deep into books. Murray likes having the show at the beginning of the school year because it emphasizes the importance of reading right off the bat. It lights a fire underneath them, Murray said. I looked at the woman's list of what books they were going to do today, and the kids come in here and they want this book or that book. Ridiculous accepting bookings for their free book now. Ridiculous is accepting bookings for their free show now and can be reached at 424-2900, 424-2900, extension 5. End of that article. Crime in courts, different topic here. Rogers pleads guilty for DUI death of Shelbyville man. This is by Huey Freeman of the H&R staff. Decatur, Richard A. Rogers, a 33-year-old Effingham man, pleaded guilty Friday in Macon County Circuit Court to one count of aggravated driving under the influence of drugs for causing a head-on collision, resulting in the death of Justin L. Baker of Shelbyville, a husband and father of two children. Rogers, who's been held in Macon County Jail on $1 million bond since his arrest on August 11, 2015, is facing 3 to 14 years in prison to be determined by a judge at his sentencing hearing. October 13th, the accident occurred at 7:40 p.m., August 6, 2015. Rogers was arrested. Start that. Paragraph here again. Rogers was driving a Ford Explorer SUV west on Andrew Street Road, about 2 miles east of Macon, when his vehicle crossed the center line and collided with an eastbound Ford Focus driven by Baker, 34, a Kroger store manager at Fairview Plaza. Baker was pronounced dead at the scene. Baker's 4-year-old son, a passenger in his car, was transported to HSHS St. John's Hospital in Springfield by medevac helicopter with life-threatening injuries. His spleen was surgically removed and he suffered a head injury. Several witnesses called in to 911 to report that the SUV Rogers was driving was all over the roadway, said a police affidavit. Blood drawn from Rogers revealed the presence of opiates, THC, active marijuana ingredient, barbiturates, oxidone, tricyclic, and Ativan. Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Nicole Cronick presented the factual basis of the case at the hearing, said toxicology report showed Rogers had a morphine blood concentration of 220 micrograms per liter, more than 5 times the amount to cause impairment. An Illinois State Police expert witness would have testified at his trial that he had profound impairment due to heroin intoxication. An eyewitness reported that Rogers' vehicle entered completely into the victim's lane. Both vehicles went airborne and spun around before landing. As part of the plea agreement, 3 felony counts were dismissed: aggravated DUI causing bodily harm to the child and 2 counts of aggravated driving with any amount of drugs in blood or urine causing death and great bodily harm. End of that article. Quickly, we will do some briefs for Wednesday, August 24th. Decatur, accident victim named the Forsyth man, killed in a traffic accident Monday afternoon, was Harley G. Connor, 84, whose identity was announced Tuesday by the Macon County Coroner's Office. He'd been in a passenger in a car in a collision with a semi-truck on Illinois 121 between Decatur and Warrensburg. Moroa, Johnvin Road closed. Johnvin Road between Lake Fork Road and Washington Street Road in Moroa Township will be closed today due to road work, including the Twin Forks Wind Farm Project. Decatur, Indian cultures. Learn about American Indian cultures through stories and games during Native American Adventure, 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 27th in Rock Springs Nature Center. Decatur, concert canceled. Elvin Bishop concert scheduled for Sunday, August 28th at Decatur's Lincoln Square Theater has been canceled. Ticket refunds are available from the point of purchase. Decatur Children's Choir. The Milliken Children's Choir is accepting new membership for the fall semester. That is the end of the briefs and the end of part one of the Wednesday, August 24th, 2016, Decatur Herald and Review, as read by Debbie. I will talk to you again soon.